Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. This month, we're speaking with KMUN, this local nonprofit radio station. It serves everyone in the region with commercial-free community radio programs and services that enrich life by illuminating the role of arts, promoting cultural and educational growth, and bringing a focus to current issues of local and regional public interest. So first, let's start by introducing each of you. So could you tell me your name and role and position?
Hi, my name's Liz Talley. I'm the membership director here at KMUN, and I was hired just about, I guess it's only been about 3 months, so I'm still pretty new.
My name's Andy Eddy. I'm the business development director here at KMUN. I've been here for about 2 years and really passionate about the station.
All right, nice. Could you give a little overview about KMUN and how it functions as a nonprofit and a bit about the history?
Sure, yeah. KMUN's a community radio station. It's run by an army of volunteers. We have like over 100 volunteers. We have a small paid staff of 7 people. And what keeps us on the air these days, especially after losing federal funding, is people signing up to be members, which Liz will talk about that in a minute. And then businesses underwriting with us. That's what my job is. I like get our businesses lined up with sponsoring a show, and they pay to sponsor that show, and that helps keep the place going. And so, yeah, volunteers. We had a small staff, underwriting, and then members, Liz.
Yeah, so we're primarily supported by our listenership. I always say that we are, you know, made by and an endless expression of our community. So all of our programmers on air are volunteers. And in addition to our small staff, a lot of other big tasks that we have are achieved or made possible by volunteer support around the station. We currently have about 1,200 members, so we consider a member anybody who has donated in the past year, and we always are kind of floating around that number. People leave, new people come, so a big priority of mine is continuing to increase that number.
And some of the services the station offers, we have a local news hour reporting, Katie Frankwitz and Skylar Detention reporting on elections, what's going on in our community. We also do emergency alerts, and that's something that just came up like a month or two ago when we had the tsunami warning. You know, KMUN was one of the first on that. So those things we just really try to connect the rural areas, the city areas. We probably average about 30,000 listeners a week. And our signal goes all the way up the Long Beach Peninsula, all the way south, almost to Pacific City, and as far east as Longview, Washington.
Could you share some stories that highlight the successful moments of KMUN and that illustrate KMUN's mission and action?
I can feel of a couple of events we've had over the last 6 months. We just had our pledge drive, which I'll have Liz talk about in a minute. And then in July, we had a block party, which we had this huge party, and it was mostly just for the community. It was for our locals, and everybody came out and supported us, and we had a great time. And I feel like it just like one of our missions is to keep community together and to bring community. And I think that block party was a great way to do that. And then our recent pledge drive was amazing. Liz, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. And I also want to add that within our You know, we're run by a nonprofit called the Tillicum Foundation. It's also the name of the old house that we broadcast out of. And part of that mission is definitely our, like, represents our guiding pillars. And with that has to do with arts and education and community support. And I think that that was really represented at the block party we invited. How many was it?
Yeah, I think we had like almost 30 nonprofit vendors there and music. And yeah, it was just a great time and a great community event. Brought a lot of people together.
Yeah, people talked about it for a long time. And I think one of the things was is that we didn't allow folks to sell things, but they provided an activity that would allow the public to engage with their organization and learn more about what they do. But in terms of the pledge drive, so yes, we just had our fall pledge drive in September, and it was, I think, the biggest pledge drive that we've ever had. So the station's been on since, I believe,
1983.
Okay, so that's a long time. And I think this was our most, this was the biggest one. There was a lot of emphasis on the loss of federal funding. So we were definitely, you know, that was in the headlines. So we were, you know, getting, we that did work in for our benefit for this time. So we were able to raise into six figures, whereas our goal was only 80,000. So that was pretty impressive. I believe we came out with over 70 new members, and some of which being one-time donors. And then also we have a thing called radio repeaters, and those are folks that contribute to us on a monthly basis. So that type of support has been definitely very helpful, considering it continues past just the pledge drive. It continues for years to come.
Yeah, the community really came out and supported us for that, this pledge drive, and we're just blown away by the support. And we just want to keep spreading the word of what we do here and how being together is the best way forward.
Could you each share about your personal connection, about why you do this work, and how you got here?
Sure. Yeah. I've known Kamian since I first got into town. That was 2011. I went on a friend's radio show. He used to have a late night hip hop show at like 1 a.m. and would come and hang out. I was like, oh, this place is cool. And then eventually I ended up getting a job here. I just started at part-time and then full-time, but like my passion's nonprofits. I have a long history working for nonprofits. And I also have a background in communications, mostly video, but that translated over to radio. And yeah, it's just been what KMUN represents is like, it's just like what I want to be all about. Just, you know, community supporting positivity. And it's for a town this small to have a radio station this big is unbelievable. And I've talked to a lot of people that have come through town from like bigger cities like Asheville, North Carolina, and they're just amazed on how such a small, we can keep this station going and the audience we reach and the content we have. We have, you know, so much original programming, you know, and that goes all to Jack Harris, our program director, Viri, our operations director, keeping all that on the air, and to all of our hundreds of volunteers that passionately come here for their show week after week. And I'm also one of those programmers. I have my own show, and it's just a great community hub, and I'm just like grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah. So I also was made aware of KMUN back when I first landed in Astoria nearly 15 years ago. I worked across the street, and I remember being told, oh, there's a radio station and it broadcasts out of that house. And was also invited to a friend's show years and years ago. Before starting at the station here, I worked at the Sou'wester and worked for the nonprofit part of their business called Sou'wester Arts, in which I worked with artists and community members to put on events and, you know, certain offerings that local folks could benefit from. I also have a little bit of a background in radio with, I used to be a programmer back in college, also a million years ago, and some other background in kind of the sonic world. I used to work for a music company, so audio has been a consistent thread throughout my life, as well as music. And I wholeheartedly believe in the mission of KMUN. At the time that I became aware of my position becoming an opening, I was volunteering for the station, doing posters and things like that. So I was a little bit involved, and KMUN had worked with Southwestern Arts a bit. So it was definitely on my radar, in addition to being a listener. And I feel like, you know, there is this, we live in this era of algorithmic and computer controlled content. And there's just something so, you know, special about people powered programming, and whether it be public affairs, selected music programs, or, you know, it's something that I feel like is a very powerful thing that, in my opinion, should be preserved in terms of, you know, what, not everything is for the people, by the people, you know, and free. And I was really honored to be brought on board.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. Could you share about KMUN's support needs, what the station, the nonprofit needs financially, volunteer-wise, or otherwise?
So yeah, there's a lot that keeps this station going, and you know, when we have our pledge drive or ask for donations, what does that go towards? That goes towards our radio tower fees. That goes towards our rent that we pay here. That goes towards paying a 7-person staff that works truly around the clock to keep this radio station going. We also buy some programming. You know, we cut some of the programming we bought, but we still pay, you know, well over $10,000 to $15,000 for programming. So it's a lot that goes in it to keep this station going. And that's one reason why we ask for donations, is for that support. And then for the members, Liz, do you want to talk about the members?
Yeah. So for membership, yeah, we are primarily supported by our listenership, and there are different ways to be of support to the station. So one way is to become a donor or a member, or even better, a radio repeater with a recurring donation. Those are so helpful to us.
And that could be like any amount, right?
Yeah, I think the minimum is $5. So, you know, for the cost of a cup of coffee, as they always say on commercials. But yeah, so there, it's flexible. It's up to you with what feels comfortable. Also, volunteer opportunities. If you are interested in volunteering with KMUN, you can reach out to volunteer@kmun.org. That puts you in direct touch with myself and Jack, our program director. And we do have information about volunteer opportunities online. But as a overview of that, that's how we intake all of our on-air programmers. It's a great way to support the station. We always need great local content. And, you know, sometimes there's things that arise that are stuffing envelopes. We also put out a bi-monthly newspaper called The Current. So, you know, that's a big effort mailing those out and delivering them. So we do have volunteers that help deliver them around the area or put address labels on them and ship them out. We also have front desk volunteers that answer the phone and the door here. And, you know, there's lots of miscellaneous opportunities that arise. So that's a great way to get involved with the station as well. You can also become a business member or an underwriter, and that's kind of Andy's realm. Maybe he wants to talk to that.
Yeah, if you have a small business out there and you want to get some notoriety, you can underwrite, which underwriting's radio messaging, and that you sponsor a show, and we can have a little description of your show. And we also have our, like Liz mentioned, The Current, our bi-monthly print publication. You can put ads in there, and that gets distributed all up the Long Beach Peninsula, down to Tillamook, and even up to Longview. So it's a great way to get your business some notoriety, but also support KMUN.
You've tuned in to KMUN. This is Beach Grassroots, a monthly program highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. Today, we're speaking with KMUN, this local nonprofit radio station. It serves everyone in the region with commercial-free community radio programs and services that enrich life by eliminating the role of arts, promoting cultural and educational growth, and bringing a focus to current issues of local and regional public interest. Let's get back to my conversation with Liz Talley, the membership director at KMUN, and Andy Eddy, the business development director at KMUN. Could we talk a bit more about KMUN's history and how it started as a nonprofit and how it's grown to what it is today?
Yeah, like we said, 1983, was our first go at it. It was just a few people that wanted a public radio station to keep like rural areas connected and for communities. And it used to be in this small, it's way before my time, but if I can remember right, it used to be, I think, in this small building. Is it above the Liberty Theater
I think it was right downtown, yeah. From what I understand, right on Commercial. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, I heard rumor that it was on a ground level. And there was a few people that started it that are still involved with the station today.
Yeah, like
right?
Carol Newman, mm-hmm. Susie McCleary, Doug Sweet, I think. Those folks like really, you know, started in the beginning, and it was just this small thing. And as the community here grew, the awareness and the need for a station grew, and then eventually we got this house and expanded, you know, purchased space on the Megler Tower across the river. So then we could, as they started with this idea of community radio, just here in Astoria, it grew to like outside of Astoria, and it realized that a lot of people want this service and want this thing in their lives. And so as the more support came in, we got to grow and go from the small little room to this beautiful house, and go from just, you know, at first just broadcasting in Astoria to broadcasting in a really big circle here in the lower Columbia Pacific region.
Oh, nice. And was it always a nonprofit station too, or how did that develop?
That's kind of, I don't really have the, I'm pretty sure it's always been nonprofit. That's something maybe we can ask Carol or Susie next time I see them on, yeah, what they, it'd be kind of cool to get one of them in here to interview too. They're, Susie McCleary has a lot of cool stories of this radio station's history. And so does Carol. Yeah.
Could you speak a little bit more about the current situation and why community radio needs, extra support right now?
So yeah, we need extra support because in July, the federal government cut our funding, and we used to get about 20% of our yearly budget from CPB, which donated to like a lot of local small radio stations. And so losing that, that's a big gap. And so we're moving forward. And again, like I said earlier, like we offer a lot of things, local news, emergency services, or emergency alerts, excuse me, and traffic reports. Whenever there's an accident, you know, we'll get on and interrupt the broadcast and let people know. And beyond that, we're giving the community like quality programming. And so it takes a lot to keep this place going, and it takes even more with the federal government, you know, cutting our budget. So we're just, we're trying to be strong. We're trying to grow community even more and be together, and we see a path forward, but we can't do it alone. We need people. We need all your help. And that's why we're here today. Liz, you have something to say?
Yeah, just to echo what Andy was saying, that the federal government defunded CPB, the Corporation of Public Broadcasting, which contributed to 20% of our annual budget. And that was cut from public media outlets across the country. And that, I think, was accounted for 120,000, or is it 170?
170, yeah.
170,000. So that's no, yeah, for per year. And that money has, you know, that funding has always been kind of a given for every 42, all the 42 years that we've been on the air or whatever it is now, you know. And so to have it unexpectedly taken away was a big consideration in terms of how to pivot from that. And we were very fortunate that we have so many generous donors that really helped us stay on the air. And, you know, at the time of this goes out, it's probably been communicated from the station many times, but our biggest, you know, restructuring was that we ended up taking NPR out of our programming. And that was, you know, syndicated NPR that cost, I believe, 80,000 a year.
Somewhere between 80 and 60,000 a year. And it wasn't not a easy decision.
It wasn't.
You know?
But my understanding is that there are maybe only two other stations of our size in the country that would have even carried NPR, just because it is such an expensive thing. And, you know, that wasn't an easy decision, but that was the largest ticket item that we had. And so moving from that, Jack has done a great job filling in, I think it was around 30 hours of programming per week that we had to suddenly fill. So there was a lot of effort in terms of from the program director and from Viri, who's our operations director. They had to plug in all these new programs, and a big effort from our news team as well, because, you know, I think the silver lining of this is that we can welcome in more local programming, more unique programming to KMUN, prioritizing more local voices on the air. And our news team is doing a great job filling the news hour where we used to have more NPR news. Now we're partnering with more regional folks and creating more stuff in-house, and that, you know, Katie and Skylar have done a great job with that. So it's been, you know, a time of, my understanding is, kind of growing pains, but also it's kind of an exciting time here as well.
Yeah, and Liz said it on the point there. It's like, you know, losing the NPR is a big bummer, but like, it's honestly changed our focus to be even more local than we were. And I think that is going to be great for this community. We're working on small local shows that promote what's happening around the region. We're doing more local news. We're having more programmers come in that are local. And so I think, you know, out of, you know, losing NPR is growing this cool thing. And I think we're just looking more at the community and what the community needs.
And I think that that's so special and really reiterates what I find so valuable about this station, is that, you know, in this era where we can all just stream basically anything, including NPR, like, you know, and all these different things and music and this and that. But what really sets us apart as a unique community resource is that hyper local content and tuning in and hearing somebody, you know, on the air, or somebody talking about events happening right in your backyard, and things that you wouldn't be able to really tune into through another type of streaming service or anything like that. And I think, you know, I know people are disappointed to lose some of the programs, but I'm really hoping, and I am hopeful, that people will find something else to really appreciate in the new lineup.
Thank you.
was there anything else that you wanted to highlight or anything else that's coming up that you wanted to share about?
Yeah, one big thing that's happening with us is our current station manager, Susan, is retiring at the end of this month, and we all wish her well in her birding ways. Now we're welcoming our new station manager, Mari, to the team, and so that's been a big change for us, and so we're looking forward to working with her and growing, having her help grow the station to the future.
And Susan Peterson was a station manager for the past 3 years and was a part of KMUN, actually had Andy's job for a while. So she's been around the station for over a dozen years, I think 12 or 13 years. So there's just going to be a little, you know, personnel change. And we're excited to welcome Mari, who is from the area. And yeah, she's getting onboarded, and I'm sure we'll bring some new insights and fresh energy to the station.
Yeah, and you know, I get just going back to the programming. You know, it will be a revolving kind of it's going to be a growing thing. We have some shows now; they might change, and we're filling that 35-hour-a-week gap is, you know, we've got it filled now for now, but it's going to take some time. We're going to have some growing pains with it, but I think once we hit our stride, I think everybody's gonna be really excited about what's on KMUN.
And I just want to say, we're always open to hearing your ideas and thoughts and feedback. You can email us at feedback@kmun.org. That goes to each staff member, so we all read those responses and take them to heart, and we do get back to everybody. So if you have thoughts about programming changes or, you know, really anything, feel free to reach out. If you want to get involved with the station as a volunteer, either on air or off air, you can email volunteer@kmun.org. And if you're considering becoming a member, there is a great write-up of several ways of how to contribute on our website at kmun.org/donate. And if you have any questions about that or, want to chat, feel free to email me at liz@kmun.org.
Yeah. And again, if you're a business out there, you want to become a business member or advertise with us, you can reach me, Andy. And my email is pretty simple. It's andy@kmun.org.
Is there any other information you wanted to add about how people can listen or?
And yeah. So, yeah, if you want to listen to KMUN, we're 91.9 here in Astoria. We're 89.5 down in Tillamook, and you can stream worldwide at kmun.org. There's also an app for your phone. You can have it on your phone. So a lot of ways to listen. You can listen pretty much anywhere.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can find out more about KMUN at kmun.org. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org.